Good morning. You know, die met jüd, in feit von Gott dem Vater und von uns Herrn Jesus Christus. Wel jüd hort dich willkommen heiten hier, von der Osmarius, das ist ein Gottesdienst. Das ist eine Freude hier zu sein, von der Osmarius, in Gottes Haus, am zu loben und zu preisen. Und von der, erst was wir nah an der Vorbereitungssendach, und ich glaube, es sei, dass die Andach oder die Message, die ich von dir habe, was mir im Horten gelegt, es war nicht ganz die gewöhnliche Vorbereitungsandacht, aber ich glaube, dass die Worte uns dienen als ein Vorbild, was der Herr uns angeboten hat, dass wir am Nachabend taub an seinem Dach teilnehmen. Und der Thema von dir auf Smore ist, dass die Einladung zu den König sein Dach. Und was ich will tun, ist, 2. Samuel, Kapitel 9, da habe ich eine Geschichte von, wo David, der König David, sein trüheutiges Leben mitteilen darf, mit, wie können sein, von der Familie, was sein Feind, wird sein vielleicht gewahrt. So, wir sind alle bekannt mit König David und von seinem guten Freund, oder wir können vielleicht sagen, seinem besten Freund, Jonathan. Und das ist nicht von David und Jonathan, aber das ist von David und Jonathan, sein Mephibosheth. So, ich will zur Einleitung lesen von Psalm 117, das ist das kürzeste Kapitel in der Bibel, 2 Versen. Ja, ich habe immer Grund zu beten und zu Vorleiter singen. In Psalm 117, da sagt es so: Lobt dem Herrn, alle Völker, lobt dem Herrn, alle Menschen. Für seine Treuheit lebt, zu uns ist Graut. In den Herrn seine Wahrheit bleibt ewig staunen. Halleluja. Wir haben zum Anfang beten. Himmlischer Vater, von dir aus Marius kommen wir für dein Angesichten. Herr, wir bringen dir Dank. Und wir wollen die Ehren für die Nacht, die du uns gegeben hast. Das ist ein schöner, warmer Tag. Und Herr, wir wissen, dass du hast den uns gegeben, um dir die Ehren zu loben. Und wir beten, dass wir möchten dort tun von dir. Möchtest du mehr als sein von dir aus Marius mit deinem Geist? Möchtest du uns bewahren hier von dir aus Marius? Und möchte dir unsere Horten aufmerken, unsere Gedanken behauen, dass wir würden nicht die checken in dieser nächsten Stunde. Das beten wir in Jesu Namen. Amen. Dann wollen wir aufhören mit ein paar Leider.
Auf der Montre, die ich bin, sind wir 454.
One in the red book.
Mm-hmm. 128, du Lebensbrot.
Damn.
So this is God's aid, wie wir uns von der Augen erholen von David, seine, King König David, seine Treuhorte Leib, der hier bewiesen hat. Und ich glaube, dass ich habe jetzt ein Vorbild brücken oder ein Beispiel, dass wir nicht bloß da, aber auch erst von der auch noch so. Wir kommen, wie zu diversen Tiden, sei wie vielleicht, wo wurde besondere Treuhorte Leib wird bewiesen. Und dort holen wir ihm Dank. So, ich will anfangen mit 2. Samuel, Kapitel 9, Version 1, Bad 13. Und dann werden wir uns da mit wieder überholen. Und erholen wir ihn. So, 2. Samuel, Kapitel 9, von Vers 1, Bad 13. Und David sieht ein Tag, hast du noch wo eine Person von Saul seine Nachkommen geblieben, dort ich dem kann meine Treuhorte Leib wiesen um Jonathan sein Halven. Dann haben wir gesagt von Ziba, der Saul sein Diener gewasst wie er. Und sie brachten Ziba für David, und David sieht am besten Ziba, und er sieht, jo, und ich sie dein Diener. Und ich kann nicht sehen, erst du noch wer von Saul seine Nachkommen, dort ich dem kann wiesen, wo Gott seine Treuhorte Leib ist. Und Ziba sieht zu dem König, du erst einer von Jonathan seine Sehens, dort erst ein Krebel. Und ich kann nicht sehen, wo erst er? Und Ziba sieht, der wohnt in Lodabar, wie Machir Amiel seine Sehen. David checkt nur recht, nur Lodebar, nur Makir, Amiel, sein Sehen, dort sie Mephibosheth bringen sollen. Dann kam Mephibosheth, der Jonathan sein Sehen und soll sein Grotchen wie, für David und kneid sich für Arm und ihr Arm. David bereist am Mephibosheth. Und er sieht, ich sehe den Diener, was kann ich für dich tun? David sieht, hab nicht Angst. Ich will die Treuhorte Leib bewiesen, am Jonathan, die ihn vor sein Halven. Ich will dir all das Land geben, was Saul, den Großvater, hat. Und du sollst immer bei meinen Dersch eten. Und Mephibosheth verirrt David noch einmal und sagt, wer sie ich, dass du nur so einen deutschen Hund aus mir so checken willst? Und die kenne ich leid Ziba, Saul, seinen Diener kommen und sagte ihm, alles, was einmal Saul an seine Familie gehört, habe ich Mephibosheth, deinen Herrn, sein Großsehen gegeben. Du und deine Sehens und deine Diener sollen das Land bearbeiten, und dort ernten, so dort dein Herr sein Sehen Brottäten haft. Aber Mephibosheth, dein Herr sein Grotsehen, soll immer an meinen Dersch eten, und Ziba hat 15 Sehens und 20 Diner. Dann seht Ziba zu den König, was immer du, mein Herr, an König sagst, wo ich daunen. Von dann an eit Mephibosheth und David sein Dersch, so aus der König seine Sehens. Mephibosheth hat einen jungen Sehen, der heißt Micah, und all Ziba seine Diener wurden Mephibosheth seine Diener. So kam Mephibosheth in Jerusalem zu wohnen, und er eit an dem König seinen Dersch, Mephibosheth wie an beide Beine lohnt. Sie hier ist, wo der König David, hey, wie der Fürst am Land. Und er regt seine Hand aus mit seiner Treuhorte Leib zu diesem jungen Mann, der wirklich hat, der ihr verdient. Und vielleicht würden sie haben gesagt, dem traf er doch nicht. Wobei gleich dit as ons geschreven to een bispel, bewiesel een am anderen, drie hoort je leven bewiesen. So als God aan ons haft, door Jesus Christus, ziende drie hoort je leven haft hij ons bewiesen. Een leven die wie ons niet verdient haan, niet verdient kern, wobei hij regt zijn hand uit en zegt, komt. Komt en eet on mijn dash. En krijgt het in deze geschicht wat je redt niet bloos van deel, maar eenmaal over voor alle tijd en in alle eeuwigheid. Zie hier David wie het waar bij gevallen, om komen te zijn wat hij versprekken had te zijn beste vriend Jonathan. En nu wel hij zijn leven bewiesen aan zijn familie. In het zijn hoe dat van hier kwam, zullen we vielleicht een klein beetje teruggaan in 1 Samuel kapitel 20. En dit is hoe David en Jonathan in het leven een en ander bewiesen deden. 1 Samuel 20, van vers 11 tot vers 17. Dat zeg ik het zo. En Jonathan zei tot David: wel wie mal op een stap gaan en ze bij gingen ruit. En Jonathan zei te David: mocht de Heer Israël, je God, dit zeig zijn, om deze tijd morgen, of even morgen, waar ik mijn vader zijn antwoord hebben. Dan waren hij ernstig te die as, daar waar ik die onbedenkt weten loten. Oba, wanneer hij plant die schoten aan te doen, dan loot hem Heren mij bestrofen en mij ja, wanneer ik die niet weten loot, zodat du op een zekere weg kost die uit hem steek brengen. Mocht de haar met die zijn, zoals hij met mijn vader via. Maar zolang als ik leef, houd die woord, dat hij mij voor de Heren juist, dat u mij driehoudig worst goed zijn en wanneer ik stof. Dan hien ik op met mijn driehoudige leven voor mijn familie. En wanneer de haar is al die vriend rondom wegneemt, dan zal de Jonathan zijn nakomen niet aanbrengen. Mocht de haar zich bloos aan die vriend dragen. En Jonathan leidt zich nog eenmaal van David dat verspreken geven, dat hij aan wordt trouw zijn. Hij rekende aan zoveel als zichzelf. De Jonathan hier, die mocht David verspreken dat hij wordt aan trouw blijven, zo goed wat hem dood. En dan Jonathan bij hem wordt wijzen dat zijn goede vriend David, zijn familie, de wijn wordt leven bewiesen. En dan is het weer jet en David. Die ken ik als. Dan valt hem dat bij wat hij die versprekken heeft, wat hij versprekken heeft. En dan vraagt hij nou Jonathan zijn familie. En we weten dat Jonathan zijn vader zal, die weer die ken ik dan, en die probeert David aan te brengen. We kunnen zijn dat we een vriend. Oba, ik ken niet David, dat zich niet rekenen, Eva zal zijn familie. En dat is niet dat we hem dat had gezegd dat hij zal dit doen, maar ik ken niet David, die wil dit doen. En hy vraag nou, as daar eens weer van zal die familie, die ek na kon, mine drie oorte lui wiesen. En ze zeiden, daar is een van Jonathan zijn zeens, en hij is een krepel. Ze David zegt, wo is hij? En ze zeiden, wo hij is, en ze zegt, breng hem her. Die deze tijd, wie al zal, wie al je sterven en je krijgt, ook zijn zeens, of drijven zijn zeens, en Jonathan wie een van die. En wanneer we een beetje studeren doen, wordt het te die tijd arbeiden, en dat heeft vielleicht deze dag ook nog. Maar wanneer een Chinese even nemen deed en een land, dan wordt verken al die wat van een vijf Chinese zijn familie weer, die worden omgebracht en even die. Je werd ziek gebracht. Die wordt niet live bewezen. En wat we dan denken, is dat ook zo is wie zijn voor ons God. Dat in de tijd wat we niet we kunnen zijn, niet live verdiend houden, of niet mal zijn, we kunnen nu nog vragen dat wir niet worthy dat we God zijn eer wouden gaan hebben. Maar God, we weten, God houdt zijn leven voor ons, dat hij een weg maakt door Jezus Christus, dat we kunnen gerechtig worden voor God. En dat we kunnen aan zijn dag eten en dat we kunnen zijn genade haben en dat we kunnen zien het driehoortje live aan ons hebben. So hier, die ken ik David, is nu die ken ik geworden. En ze zegt al zeet, hij raagt zich niet. Want in feite ken ik zijn familie. Maar hij leeft, hij wil live bewijzen. En hoe ween deed David dat? Het zegt hier, ween Jonathan zijn halven. Hij had zijn beste vriend dat verspreken dat hij would doen zijn dat zijn familie wouden goed behandeld worden. Zie Jonathan, die would zijn de nächste vast. Wat zal ik kan ik zeggen, want het weer zou je gewoon als de reel en dan weer. Because hij weer de zin te Saul. Maar dat we niet God zien wel, en in steed David, wie die kan ik worden. So wat heb je door u nemen van deze bijspel van die kan ik David? Door wie ons drie wat je lijf bewijzen aan zonen als wat we wouden vielleicht gaan zijn, dat we hier aan te vinden. Maar door wie ons bemeren dat we ons rechten doen aan die ons vielleicht gaan slecht behandeld. En deze tijd, hoe we ons uitmerken, te moven mol, hoe we wel een toop gemeenschap gaan. Met onze God en met onze metmenschen, wat hebben we in horten? Waar we ons horten nu zijn, wat aan ons hort is, wo hebben we ons hort gezegd, jen, mijn noba, mijn vriend, te mijn broer of mijn zuster. Kom wie de jen zo als, ken ik David deed, te dizen, zegt hier wie een krepel. En deze deel, ik denk, het anders is het dan weer, dat we vielleicht zonder wat je pleegt weer, of kreplig weer, die wordt je acht als zeer weinig, of vielleicht zo goed nust. Acht wie die, wat andere vielleicht würden sein, die zijn dat niet weet. Du wie die, der reicht die ihr en die Leib bewiesen, zoals Gott ons seine Treue hat die Leib bewiesen haft. Die Leib, die wir uns nicht, dass ich sie nicht verdient haben und die uns nicht trafen lädt, aber Gott regt seine Hand aus und sagt, kommt. Kommt und sagt bei mir das und eht mit mir taub in aller Ewigkeit. So, wir wollen uns wieder nach von der Sicht schreibt wieder in der englischen Andacht nachchecken, ob wir dort ewig gehen. Wir haben uns alle taub, wenn wir es ewig kennen, wenn wir uns die Gesundheit haben, Handknien für Gott im Stellen und beten zu haben, was immer auf uns Worten liegen wird. Wir wissen, dass Gott es immer dort unsere Gebete hören, wo immer wir sind, nicht bis hier, wo er alle Zeit in Engels vor. Nu wil ik het ontkrijgen, wat je met mij hoop voor God knijden in je bed. Mocht daar aan ze weder hier in ons genedig zijn.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 203. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Can we stand, please?
So we already talked a little bit about the kindness that David, King David, showed to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and we want to continue on. In verses 2 to 4 of our text of 2 Samuel chapter 9, here was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, and they called him to appear before David, and the king asked, "Is there someone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" If we take note here, it says, "I can show God's kindness." So David was showing kindness, but yet he was modeling the love of God, the love that God had showed to David. And here he says, "I want to share God's love with Saul's family. Is there someone that is still alive? Is there someone left of his household?" And this Ziba answers the king, "And there is a son of Jonathan. He is crippled." And David asked, "Where is he?" The king asked, he was given the answer, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Now Ziba was a servant of Saul's household, although elsewhere he is also called the steward of Saul's household. We could maybe say he was Saul's manager. And this would seem to indicate that Ziba was more than just one of the servants. He was in charge of Saul's household and therefore probably made the day-to-day decisions regarding the resources and the wealth that still belonged to Saul's family, even though at this point Saul was already gone. He is a man with a lot of power and influence within Saul's family. And therefore, he would have been the natural one for David to call and to ask, or to call forward and ask, "Is there anyone left of Saul's household?" And it's maybe hard, when we read the scripture, it's maybe hard to decipher if actually this Ziba is sincere before David, or maybe he is just giving lip service and being respectful to the king because he knows that the king has the ultimate power over him. But if you read elsewhere in scripture, it seems that this Ziba was not really an honorable man, and he probably was just putting on a good show before David when he appears before David here. But he presents himself as God, as David's servant. And David asks Ziba the question of, "Is there anyone left, so that I can show God's kindness?" It's been said that King David was a man after God's own heart, and I believe that also shows here that he is wanting to show God's kindness. The kindness that he had received from God, that kindness that he had received that we still today receive from God. And I believe that that is not something that comes down from God and it stays in our heart, or it enters our heart and it stays there. But rather, it is meant to be shared and to be furthered, to show God's kindness to others. And if we can put ourselves into David's position here, where he asks if there is someone, and he finds out there is actually still is someone left, it must have given him a sense of excitement, because he had such a love for his friend Jonathan, and now he finds out there is someone that is still from Jonathan's family, that is still alive. And Ziba goes on to tell David that there is this son, but he is a cripple. And if we go back further in scripture, we find that how this son, Mephibosheth, became crippled was that his nurse had dropped him and he became crippled. The time his nurse had heard the news that Saul and Jonathan had died in battle, and she was afraid that this young child would also be sought after, and she made an escape, or she ran away. And in her hurry to escape, she accidentally dropped him, and thus this Mephibosheth became lame as a young boy. And as alluded to earlier already, in that time, if you were disabled, you were considered to be of a low class. You couldn't take care of yourself, and you couldn't earn a living, and he was dependent on others. And when you read in 2 Samuel 9, when David asks where this young man is, he finds out that he is actually not even living in Jonathan's household, or we could say in Saul's household. This manager, Ziba, should have been taking care of him, but instead he had pawned it off on someone else. It says here that he was living in the house of Makar, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. And Lo Debar, again, if you research it, it was a ghetto of sorts on the east of the Jordan River. So this young man was being cared for in a stranger's house, and Lo Debar, if it's translated, means basically nothing or nowhere. Here was a descendant of the king, and he was living in a nowhere town being cared for by who knows who or what. But things are about to change. If we read through in verses, as read in verses 5 to 8, where David requests Mephibosheth to be brought to him. And this young man is brought from this nowhere town to Jerusalem. And as he comes to visit the king, he enters in, and David greets him by name. And Mephibosheth responds by, "Behold thy servant." The same words that this manager Ziba had spoken earlier when he appeared before David. However, we also find some clues that Mephibosheth may be a little bit more sincere than Ziba had been or was. Mephibosheth bowed himself before the king and said, "I am your servant," where Ziba had simply just spoken the words, or we could say had given lip service. And at this point, young Mephibosheth still doesn't know what David's intentions are. Again, if we think of what was the protocol then, that if a new king took over, he would destroy all the descendants of the previous king. And I'm sure this Mephibosheth will have entered his mind and say, "The king is calling for me. What's he going to do? What's he going to do to me?" Yes, he was the son of Jonathan, but he was also the son of Saul. So he was the son of David's best friend, but he was also the grandson of Saul, the king who had sought to destroy David. So he would still potentially have the lineage or the potential to be the king, because he came from a royal bloodline. And he was probably didn't feel quite safe to appear before this new King David. But David seems to sense Mephibosheth's fear, And in verse 7, it says, David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." And then he says, not only that, but I will restore unto you all that rightfully belongs to you. David said, "Fear not. I will show you kindness." David tells Mephibosheth that he wants to fulfill the covenant of kindness that he had made with his friend Jonathan by a couple of ways. First, that he will restore to him the land that belonged to Saul. Now, I believe this didn't mean literally the land of Israel, but that it meant the physical, the lands that Saul's family had owned. We could say his fields or his farms, maybe we would refer to today. In other words, David would restore to Mephibosheth, this crippled son of Jonathan, all the land that rightfully belonged to him. And this would have been a wonderful gift in itself, because it would have meant financial security for this young man. But then secondly, David tells Mephibosheth, "You will always eat at my table." Now, how would that feel if we were considered to be a nobody? And the king of the land would invite us to live in his house and to eat at his table at all times. You see, this is what our Heavenly Father does. He extends his invitation to all of us to come to him, to come to him through Jesus Christ, and be invited to sit at his table, not only here physically, as in a week from now, the intent, Lord willing, that there will be communion in this church. And we physically sit, we could say, at the Lord's table. But even more so, that we can be at the Lord's table always. David said, "You will always eat at my table." In the case of Mephibosheth, to have had the opportunity to be at the king's table one time would have already been a big deal. David goes way beyond that in his kindness, and he says, "You will not only eat at my table tonight or next week, but you will continually eat at my table." See, David never forgot his humble beginnings. David never got over the grace that God had extended to him in his life. As a young shepherd boy, he had been brought into Saul's household, and he himself had eaten at the king's table as a boy. And when David first became king, he poured out his heart in prayer to God. "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? How great are you, O sovereign Lord? There is no one like you, and there is no God but you." Find that in 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 and 22. David never took God's kindness towards him for granted, so he was able and ready to show God's kindness to others as well. David also knows here in this situation that Mephibosheth is not at fault. In many ways, this Mephibosheth is suffering for his grandfather's sin, his grandfather Saul. through no fault of his own, Mephibosheth had been barred from the king's table. And David now restores that to him. Again, if we take that as an example or a picture of how the human race lost the right or had been the right to eat at the king's table or had been barred, is when Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out from the presence of God. They were barred from the communion of God. But God also, in his love and kindness, put a plan into motion that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, that would restore that again to what we had lost. Extraordinary kindness. And if we look in verse 8 of Mephibosheth's response, it says there, and he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Once again, Mephibosheth bows down before David. He is literally, we could say, floored by David's kindness. Who or what am I that you would even notice me? He doesn't claim any privileges as a right. Rather, he receives it as pure grace, unearned and completely undeserved. Just like us to our Heavenly Father. How would God have looked upon us who were so undeserving, unlovable, and extend his grace and his amazing, extraordinary kindness to us? But then David puts his plan into action. He doesn't just say this is going to be, he follows through in verses 9 to 13. We have now seen where David remembers Jonathan's kindness to him and how David extended kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. And he puts his plan into action. Don't we often have good intentions, but then we never get around to doing them? David didn't just have a wonderful idea or intention, but he did it. He summoned Saul's servant, and then he says to Saul's former manager, he says to him, "I have given your master's grandson." He refers to Ziba as you're still the servant of Saul, even though Saul has already passed from the scene. And he says, "I have given your master's grandson, this crippled young man, everything that belonged to Saul and his family. Now, you, Ziba, and your sons and your servants are going to take care of everything that belongs to him. You're going to farm his land. You're going to put in his crops. You're going to harvest his crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." So he puts a job, we could say, on the shoulders of Saul's former manager, and he says, "This is what you're going to be doing." And then he goes further and says, "But this Mephibosheth, he is going to eat at my table. He's going to live in my house, and he's going to eat at my table, but you're going to take care of his affairs." David tells Ziba how he just gave Mephibosheth everything that belonged rightfully to him. Now, this probably wasn't good news for this manager Ziba, or this steward, for he had full control of the household of Saul at that point. And now we could say it's taken from him and it's given to this young crippled man. But he is told what he is going to be doing, that he's going to be taking care of everything that rightfully belongs to Mephibosheth. He's going to be taking care of his affairs, but he says, as for Mephibosheth himself, he's coming in with me. And we were told there that Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. But again, Ziba is compliant with David's commands, but most likely not, wasn't from the heart. Because he tells David that I will do whatever you command me to do. Why would he say that? Not because he loves King David, but because David has the power over him and Ziba really has no choice. And it would be easy to see how this Ziba would become resentful at this new arrangement, because it was an opportunity that he had thought he had and had now been lost. And we might even think, well, if David showed this kindness to this young crippled man, why would he be so harsh on this servant of Saul's? But we will also read later on in 2 Samuel how this manager, his heart was not in the right place, and he worked against the king when the opportunity was right. But when we skip over now to the end of the chapter, in the last verse of our text, in verse 13, it says there, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. So it says there that this young man lived in the king's household. And it's interesting to me how the chapter ends, and again it restates there, and it says, and was lame on both his feet. So what can we take out of this passage? Well, I think there's a lesson in here that's been said of the sowing and the reaping. What goes around comes around. The kindness that we show to others will be rewarded in some way. We may not experience it in this life, or maybe even in your children's lives, but it will be rewarded in eternity. Kindness is something that we need to do as children of God, how God has extended his kindness to us, that we, today we use the term pay it forward. Not expecting something in return, but because the love of God lives within us. Then there's a lesson of faithfulness. We should be faithful to keep our promise. David kept his promises, the promises that he had made to his friend, that he had made before God. David, we read here, had made a covenant with his friend. And he kept his word. Even though Jonathan had been killed in battle, he was no longer alive. And yet David still kept his word. We have the lesson of stewardship. When God blesses us with, possibly with wealth or with power or influence, we need to use that in order to bring blessings to others. Let's remember that you are blessed in order to be a blessing. And then also the lesson of mercy, of extending mercy. As we are recipients of God's kindness, we should show God's kindness to others also. David never lost sight of God's grace, the grace that God had shown to him, and here he was passing it on to others. We also have the lesson of humility. We should never view ourselves so worthy of God's kindness. We are sinners saved by grace. And just like the attitude of Mephibosheth, we should not presume that God owes us anything. For who am I that God should notice me? Just as David showed Mephibosheth kindness for Jonathan's sake, God shows us kindness for Jesus' sake. And I think this is a beautiful picture of God's grace in the Christian's life. Like Mephibosheth, we also are lame. We are crippled by sin in both feet, unable to provide for ourselves, and covered with shame. We are also barred from dining at the king's table like Mephibosheth, who was brought from Lodebar, the city of nothing. He was brought to Jerusalem, to the city of God. And just like David extended kindness to Mephibosheth, our God and King has extended an extraordinary kindness to us, one that is completely unearned and undeserved. And he has invited us always to eat at the king's table. One day, if we are a child of God, we will go to heaven where we will eat at the king's table for all eternity. But in the meantime, we look forward to partake of the Lord's table of communion, a reminder of God's provision in the past, his grace in the present, and an anticipation of the glory to come when Christ returns. And if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior and have been baptized into God's family, you are invited. You are invited to eat at the King's table next coming Sunday, Lord willing, in this church, to share the Lord's Supper together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the kindness that you have extended to us. As we have seen today in the scriptures of how King David, a man after your heart, the Lord, extended kindness. And Lord, we thank you for that, the opportunity to eat at your table. I just pray that each one that is here this morning would prepare their hearts to come to take part, to sit at your table, and to share in that amazing kindness that you have extended to us, Lord. Today, Lord, we also pray for those that could not be here, that would have maybe wanted to be here, those that are sick, those that are suffering, those that have suffering from having to say goodbye to a loved one. Lord, today as we leave here, I pray that you would walk with us today and in the days to come as you give us grace, that you will walk with us and you will lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Again, for any other needs that are in your heart, I would invite you, if you're physically able, to kneel with me in a time of prayer. Let's kneel in silence. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take the blue book and turn to page 138. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that
morning. I'm going to read again the notice of intended ordination. On March 15th, 2022, a ministerial election was held in Altona, and I, Shane Friesen, was elected to be a minister of the Summerfelt Mennonite Church of Manitoba. Since the election, my wife Kim and I have felt the prayer support offered up for us, and we appreciate it very much. We have prayerfully considered God's call in our lives and have accepted this call, standing in faith. The ordination service is planned for June 26, 3 p.m. in Altona, Lord willing. We understand that this new role should be entered, not be entered into gravely, for this apostle. Apostle James writes about teachers of the gospel in James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Jesus says in Mark 3:25, if a house be divided against itself, the house cannot stand. Neither Kim nor myself want to cause anyone to stumble in their Christian faith by something that we have or have not done or said. And it is certainly our sincere desire that the Summerfelt Mennonite Church of Manitoba be made stronger with us as a ministerial couple, not weaker. Thus, in order that we may present ourselves as servants to God in the way that He desires, we humble ourselves before you, the congregations, before the ministers of the Manitoba Summerfelt Mennonite Church, We ask if there is anything that you hold against us, would you please forgive us? We have also come before God's throne of grace, seeking clean hearts, including forgiveness for any potential sins or faults that may hinder his ministry through us. That being said, if there is anything that you believe God would have you discuss with us in preparation for ordination, you may contact us at 204-304-9233. In Christ, Shane and Kim Friesen. And also regarding communion next Sunday, the German service will be at 9 a.m. and the English service will be at 11. Thank you.
Thank you. And I also thank you to you for coming and for your prayer support. Thank you for coming, and I want to leave you with the benediction. Let's bow. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.